Continuing to break down the Chauvin trial verdict, ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky joining us on the KRDN Newsline. And Aaron, millions tuned in to their radios, paused in front of the TV sets yesterday, waiting for that verdict to be read in Minneapolis.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was quite the spectacle of O.J. Simpson, but it was a moment for the country to pause. You know, and it wasn't just we in the news business. Our colleagues at ESPN put their programming on hold as well to bring news of the verdict, because I think that this became an inflection point all across the country in all different walks of life. As soon as the verdict was read, there were statements from the NBA and the NHL, and we know that athletes found a voice in the death of George Floyd. It was such a convulsive moment for the country. And now it was made clear that it was a moment of justice that for Black Americans they thought they wouldn't necessarily see. And Vice President Harris made clear that a moment of justice is not equal justice. And so the fight for equitable policing and for race and justice continues.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously we know this was, as the Vice President mentioned, you know, just a moment in that ongoing issue. So where does this go now, and what implications could this have, especially as another high-profile police-involved death is being investigated just 10 miles down the road in Brooklyn Center?
Yeah, Dante Wright's funeral is coming up tomorrow, I think. And so the issue doesn't, you know, go away. And as celebratory as yesterday was for many, I think you also saw, you know, still a lot of relief. This one's over, but recognition that there are other cases and other moments to come. 20 minutes before the verdict was read, police in Columbus, Ohio, shot and killed a 16-year-old black girl who was, you know, the police said was, you know, may have been trying to stab someone else. So in that case, perhaps the use of force is justified. But, you know, these kinds of questions, especially in the black community, are wrenching. And I think, too, they're almost as wrenching for the police themselves, who will have to be part of any conversations about, you know, what this moment means going forward. You didn't find very many police officers that were willing to defend the actions of Derek Chauvin, but police are certainly weary of what this moment means for them and their training, their understanding of their job, and what they're asked to do going forward.
Right. It seems to indicate that it's time for a pivot, perhaps, in some of the practices that, you know, may have been taught to earlier generations of police and were considered, you know, kind of the norm, and things that have been phased out because of the danger and risk to people that they're taking into custody.
Well, that's true. And I think that there are calls for a change in approach in many ways. And already, moments after the verdict was announced, so was a hearing on a police reform bill that's going to be named for George Floyd. So it is a moment for the country to perhaps consider how to do things differently. And you know, police, I think, not only have to be, but want to be part of that conversation because we heard all measure of statements from different police agencies about what the verdict means and also what it means for them in the conversation they say they want to have going forward.
Yeah, and obviously we know the situation, you know, we haven't gotten to this point overnight, so obviously we're not going to have an overnight fix to everything now that a verdict in this, you know, one landmark case has come together. This is still going to need decades and generations of work to get to that level of equality that so many have been calling for decades and centuries before us.
Well, that's certainly true. And, you know, you heard one of George Floyd's relatives talk about Emmett Till and how you know, drawing a line through American history to get to George Floyd, and yet, you know, the family also said we can breathe again. So as anguished as the family has been over their loss, you know, they seem to have a measure of relief, but a determination to help push for those changes How successful they'll be, I think we'll see, and how. But for the moment, the celebration prevails.
Aaron, in this age where things are documented by bystanders on their cell phones, I mean, we're kind of in a new age for that. I mean, the body camera footage alone might not have been enough to convict, as opposed to that witnesses video that went viral.
It's an excellent point. And if you look at the initial police report that was put out by Minneapolis PD, given what we know now, it is so scant in terms of the information released. It's only through the bystanders, and you heard prosecutors talk about this, who understood they were powerless to do anything in that moment, but instinctively knew that something was wrong and stood by to take pictures and record video. And if not for that video, I wonder whether this is a different outcome. Because the video was so wrenching, and all the jury had to do, as prosecutors put it, was believe their eyes.
Well, and being in the news business, we've known that, you know, reporting and video and audio can be important weapons in freedom. So obviously that's something that is now developing with even bystanders. Aaron Katursky, ABC News correspondent out of New York, thank you for your time and your insight.
Thanks, guys.